But let's turn to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Such a wonderful, wonderful chapter. And the theme of this chapter is the law is but a shadow, but the grace of God is now the new, lasting, and forever covenant that we will have. And I think the Lord will have us read the first 10 verses of this 10th chapter. And we'll go back and start with the study. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. That's our wonderful Savior. To do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. Once for all. How many times have we, again, been reminded this throughout the Scripture? And I would pray that this would not be something, again, that we would ever take lightly, that we would ever take for granted, that would ever be something that we would feel nonchalant about. I am thankful that the Lord encourages our heart when we hear that, that it really does strike the chords of the heart, that it is real. And so precious to us. But again, truly the law is but a shadow. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers there unto perfect. The law is a shadow, but grace is the substance. Isn't that wonderful? Grace is our substance. The Lord's just been encouraging me again this week on that we believe, and we do not need reasoning in our belief. Isn't that wonderful? See, man's mind tries to reason, but we believe. You can't approach that way to God. It's spiritually discerned. And that's how we approach God, is in that spiritual. All the types of the tabernacle, the priesthood, the law, all good and exciting and wonderful types. But they're not the real thing. They're not the real thing. Christ Jesus is the real thing. And hallelujah that we haven't missed it. It is so simple, it's clear, and it's true that it truly is in Him, and it truly turned the world upside down. And as I was studying about this, I thought, and I do ask you for continued prayer for my dear friend, Art Schimmel, the Jewish man out there in California. I think the Lord is encouraging me to come and visit with him. But he had shared with me a story how he went to Jerusalem. And this was so many years ago. And I think how the Lord encouraged this in his life to really see that Jesus Christ could be his Savior. I know that Jesus Christ is his Savior, but to Art Schimmel, it could be his Savior, at least at this time. Like I told you, he's come from a bad guy to a good guy to lots of different things, and we're praying, hallelujah, that he will see that he is his Savior. But he went out there, and he said, you know, the thing that struck me is that little Jerusalem is like on the backside of nowhere. He said, you ever been there? I said, no. He said, you just can't even imagine how desolate, remote, what a speck, and it's just, it's out there. You know, and how Jesus, that so changed the world, came out of there. And he said, you know, and I remember this so distinctly when he got back, and this is after I'd known him for about 10 years. He said, you know, there must be something to that Jesus. He said, for him to get out of there, there had to be something with that. It wasn't like, you know, he was coming out of New York City or Hollywood or something like that. He came out of there at that time. And that was someone who entered into this world that had nowhere to lay his head. And we've got to talk about that. But that is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's no denying that everything truly does point to the Lord. Again, as I shared that, as I've been studying again for this Sunday about, again, intuition. I'll give you a little tidbit of it. I think the Lord will have us there. But it's knowing without reasoning. It's knowing without reasoning. And that just means so much to me. That's faith. That is faith. I just thought how beautiful to know. To know. Isn't it wonderful to be confident? Isn't it wonderful to be sure? Isn't it wonderful to be so solid to know? And that only happens in Jesus Christ. If it happens in here of me, it's false. When it's of Him, it's forever. Hallelujah. But the law can never perfect. It could never get it done. The yearly remembrance of sin over and over the failure. Over and over the failure. Thank God that Christ brought that and took that away. I would have never wanted to be reminded of that. And I praise Him that we're born in this time. But in Christ we are perfect. Our sins are remembered no more. It's complete. It's free. It's perfect. And by the grace of God, we now are called to grow in it. And that is that new covenant of grace. Again, as I thought through this, I think you've probably heard me say before or thought this yourself, is the I was thinking of the Japanese women up until really not too far after the turn of the century there. They used to bind their feet. And they used to think that feet were, the small foot was beautiful. But I come to find out, they really did that. The samurai were the ones that would go out to war, and they really bound those feet because they didn't want their women going into other houses and fooling around while they're away. Had nothing to do with pretty feet. Don't let them tell you. They didn't want them messing around, so they thought that they would just hinder them that way. But as they bound those feet, they became deformed. They became stunted. They became ugly. They were horrific. They would show, I've seen some of the pictures of it, it's awful what happened. And truly that is what the law does in our life. If we become legal with that, that we think that we can attain to that calling, that we think that we could become perfect in our own merit, it stunts us. We become deformed. We're not His workmanship. Would we be that? No, we wouldn't. It's in grace. It's in grace. And that is the knowledge that we have been bestowed upon, is that it is His work. I'm so thankful that we are free in Him. Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience. If it was perfect, it would have still been used. It would still be needed. But it's useless because it has made no one perfect. The people still had the conscience of sin. And let that so speak to us that there is such beauty and perfection in knowing that our iniquities are remembered no more. Think about that. Again, there is beauty and perfection in knowing that our iniquities are remembered no more. Now you think about that with one another. What do you see when you see your brother? And this is what was hitting me. Do I see my brother as the new creation, or do I see the sin of my brother? I want beauty in my life. I want beauty in my life, and beauty comes from grace. Beauty comes from grace. It's not what these eyes see. This sight, this vision will always destroy and take away. And again, it so struck me that we're going to have problems. We're going to have issues in our life. We're going to have things because, you know what? We're still in this flesh. Restore. Pray. I want to be, by the grace of God, spiritual. Spiritual. And that is the growth. That is the true vision that Christ wants us to have. It is so important to remove our thoughts and remembrance of sin. And again, you heard this last week and we talked about it. Think of what most religions do. They put it right back in front of you. Even at their funerals. I was at a funeral not too long ago. They were smoking and puffing and blowing and all that to get the sin out of the guy that was dead. I'll tell you what, if that sin wasn't out of him by the time he left, it ain't ever going to be out of him. You know what I mean? Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. And I think about how sad that is. It's laughable, cryable, but that ain't going to do nothing for him. With the tongue, I confess that he is Lord. And when that thing's lying in the grave, I had better made peace with my God through his Son. Because there isn't no second chance. And it's that easy to say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Praise him. But to praise him that he has forgiven us once for all. Doesn't that make you happy every day? To know that you've been cleansed. To know that you've been accepted in the Beloved. To know that God looks upon you with favor because he sees his Son. No matter what happened the night before. No matter what happened in my life at any time ever. If I am his child, he looks upon me with that favor. Do you believe that? That's what the Word of God says. Don't let this world pull you down. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know again the victory that Christ seized for us on that cross. Don't insult him. And again, I just marvel in the truth that my sin is gone. I'm perfect. I'm cleansed by the grace of God. I'm perfect. I'm cleansed by the grace of God. And that's what makes me want to yield to him. When I realize what he has given me, when I realize what he has done for me, and we've talked about this many times, we don't serve him because we fear or that we're afraid. That's not going to get it done. It's because he first loved us. And then when you start seeing that he first loved us, then you start seeing the amount of love that he had and how it's limitless. It's forever. It's unconditional. It is always there. And in spite of my stupidity, my failure, my ineptness, he is always there for me. Now, do you see one another like that? Because the Word of God says to love one another as Christ loves us. You're awful quiet. Okay. But you know that's true. That's the love of the Philadelphia saint. Again, you can see where the Lord's been leading my heart with this. But that's when true grace takes a hold of us. To cause us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's grace. See, grace isn't going out and sinning willfully that grace may abound. That's not it. Grace doesn't abound in that. Grace is already abounding anyways. Now, I want to become one with grace. I want grace in every single part of my life. Okay? And that's when I serve him acceptably. That's the grace of God. That's when he causes me to do the right things. You know how they say, what would Jesus do? What would this? Uh-uh. It just comes in and it comes out. Because that's what grace does. I don't need to think about that kind of thing. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It's already been done. It's already been decided. Now just dwell in that grace. And in faith, grow in him. All right. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. See, Christ's sacrifice, it forgot sins. But again, get free from the thought of sin. Now, let's start going into different scripture. There's so many of them, but I think that these are so just absolutely wonderful. Let's go to Philippians 3:13. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This is Paul speaking. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Again, it's past. We're going in grace. We're trusting him to overcome. Even those things in the past that were things that were great. All these people I led to the Lord. All the great tithes I gave. Whatever it may be. Who knows what it was. That's done. It's done. Now, there will be a reward in that. Even a cold cup of water given in the name of a prophet has its reward. But that's done. It's today. What are you doing with Jesus today? And thank God He's brought us here. That's grace. Again, what we do on a Wednesday night, but what else would I want to be doing on a Wednesday night? This is for me. We're sharing the Word of God. This is forever stuff right here. This is precious stone, man. This is stone that He's going to put in a crown. Oh, thank you, Lord, to see that vision. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Again, this is Paul. And he's talking about us as the Jew. He was talking about his kindred here. Which was contrary to us. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. See, the Mosaic law had to be taken out of the way for the Jew to be free. It had to be removed. The blood. All by the blood. But in this case, for them, the Jew. And I love this verse. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, what was he spoiling? What were those principalities and powers? They were wicked spirits in heaven that were trying to keep him down. That's true. That's the power that he, basically what it's saying is he showed them up. And he more than showed them up. He triumphed over them. And let that so speak to us. Don't let evil spirits overcome you. Don't be afraid of that. Are there evil spirits in this world? Yes, there are. And they're all over the place. And you know what? They're growing. It says the evil of man will wax worse and worse as we see that day approaching. I was talking to a man today. Men aren't men anymore. Women aren't women. They've left their natural affection. Well, let's go out and change that. Let's go out and make this world a better place. Well, that sounds nice, but that's not what we're here to do. We're to follow after the Lord as Paul followed Christ. To follow that. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That isn't getting absorbed into politics. Causes, reasons, things of that nature. It's all in the Son. These are things that are going to happen. Did you know that? They talk about a big revival, a great revival. There's a resurgence. It's not what the Word of God says. It says there'll be a falling away. Did you know that? Now, there is great grace upon this place. There's great grace upon this country and even this world. He is still calling out to those. He's still giving time. But you know what the main time is for? It's for when He takes His throne. I was listening to a man when I was in Texas this week again. I think I mentioned it to you again. And I appreciate his zeal for the Lord. But he was saying how Christ has taken the throne. No, He's at the right hand of God. He hadn't taken His throne yet. God hasn't given it to Him yet. Because He's waiting for one thing. He's waiting for His queen. You know the Word of God says that? He's waiting for a bride. Okay. Now, there are others that are with Him, right? They're with Him. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But there is a group that's getting prepared. Praise God. Are you part of that group? The bride has made herself ready. That's the vision. And that's what Christ, hallelujah, that's what He's waiting for. We're kind of hindering. We've got to be taken out of the way. I like to be that hindrance. My wife says, never mind. Okay. All right. I'm going to pay for that one too. I know it. I got to stop that. Okay. Colossians 2. I just made sure you're awake. All right. So then it goes on to say, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And you read that. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. I'm not talking about people. I hope you understand that. We love people by the grace of God. But what is Seventh-day Adventist? What is Catholicism telling you about? What about keeping a days? Abstaining from meats, a certain meat on a certain day, whatever. What is that? Is that anything from the Word of God? It's done. It's over. It's finished. Those ceremonies, those ordinances are gone. It's a complete insult to God. It is. Religious ceremony can pop up into our life in anything, though. Did you know what religious ceremony is? It's called self-righteousness. You can have your own form of religious ceremony in your life, and it's called self-righteousness. Is your ceremony walking around looking at your brother's sin? Is your ceremony walking around saying, well, I gave so much and look at me, I'm a great guy, or I go and serve at the soup kitchen and I do this? Well, if the Lord has you do good things, that's wonderful. But magnify the Lord. The praise goes to Him. I have no goodness in me. This is the theme of the Word of God. What did Christ Himself do? He made Himself of no reputation. The I Am. You think you can get out of the way now? That's what He tells me. He said, Jesse, you think you can get out of the way now? And He does says it in love. He don't say it like that really, but it's true. Get over yourself in whatever way it is and get into God. Oh, hallelujah. Get into God. John 8:15. John 8:15 says, ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. That's Jesus. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. We're not to judge one another. Where did people get that? Now someday, by the grace of God, we're going to rule and reign with Him. If we'll accept it and we'll jointly suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. Okay? Now that day's coming. And we get to carry out lots of wonderful things. Read Revelation where you're at, where you could be at by His grace. But we're to judge no man. It's been done. Romans 8:1. We know that so well. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You're perfect. Now live it. You're free. Now live it. He's overcome it for you. Now live it. That is the liberty of Christ. That's what He has called us into, His perfect liberty. Hebrews 8:12 and 10:17 again goes on to say that He remembers our sins no more. Okay, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Again, types are wonderful, but the real thing is Christ. There was no ability to get it done in those sacrifices. There was one way, and it was but Jesus. It's wonderful to have a picture of something. You know that? It's wonderful to have a picture. Brother Copley was talking about this, and you can draw it, you can look at it, and he was talking about like whether it's a picture of an apple or a picture of an orange. I can show you what it looks like, but you never really know what it is until you taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to taste it. How many times did Brother Hill refer to that peach? Because you know what? You come to a place where words ain't going to get it done no more. Say, you want to know about this? Well, you got to step into it. You want to know about this? You got to bite into it. You got to savor it. You got to taste it. And it's sweet to the mouth. And I'll tell you what, as you go on and you digest it, it's going to be bitter to the stomach. Because He loves you that much that now faith's going to take hold. And He's going to try that faith because it's more precious to Him than gold. So you're sitting here wondering again, why am I in such a fiery trial? Why is it? Don't count it strange. Because when you're tried in it, it's going to come through it more precious than gold in it. Hallelujah. That's why we have those things. We talk about those things. Now know it and live it. And be thankful in it. And as I was talking to a brother today, again, I've noticed in my life that the Lord never really takes me out of something until I've truly been delivered while I'm in it. That makes sense to you? Delivered while I'm in it, and then He takes you out of it. You're almost there. Almost there. What do you think He's doing right now? He's about ready to take us out of it, isn't He? Think so? We're almost there. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Without Christ's blood, no remission of sin. Verses 5 through 7. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. but a body thou hast prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. These verses contain the direct quote from Psalm 46 through 8. Turn with me over to Psalm 46 through 8. And again, this is Paul, again, quoting the wonderful psalmist David. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. You know, I wonder as I read that, and as I continue to read that, did David even know what he was talking about? I mean, in a sense, he saw. You know what I'm saying? But obviously, he didn't see the fullness of the glory which we're seeing tonight by the grace of God. But that is so precious, how the Lord had him see that glimpse, that vision, that he has so just taken all the veil away for us. Thank you, Jesus. This is Christ speaking to God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19. Colossians 1, 15 through 19. This is what it is. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. That settled it for me. Okay, I think evolution just went out the door. By him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. So see, don't get carried away when your favorite political figure doesn't get into office. Who put them there? Didn't say thrones and powers and dominions. He's in control of this thing. It's not out of control. He's in control. He's allowing it to go right where it's at. Every jot and tittle of this word, it comes to pass. It's real. I love reading the Word of God because as He, you know, enlightens you to it, you can see the things. Everything is perfect. It's here. People worry about what's going on in the world right now. I don't worry about what's going on in the world right now. God said this is what's going to go on in the world right now, right before I let my son come and get his bride. I'm excited about this. War and rumor of war? Bring it on. Bring it on. Love of many waxing cold? Bring it on. People suing each other for no reason? Bring it on. Okay? You think I'm nuts in saying that kind of thing? Men and women burning in their lust for one another? Bring it on. Don't want to see it. Really don't in a lot of ways. But I know that that is a sign. He said, when you see these things come to pass, look up. You're looking up. See, I start looking around at that, I'm going to get sad, aren't I? I'm going to get disgusted. Kind of sad for people like my dad who fought in the military and people that founded this country, your dad and all. Yeah, it's sad. But it's coming to pass because God said it was so. Don't get caught up into emotion. Don't get caught up into your goodness. Into, oh, I'm so sad about the old days and the old ways and all that. No. I'm waiting for the way. And the way's here. And he's going to have me in his arms pretty soon. Do you believe that? Oh, man. I just am thrilling more and more every day. Don't let him get you down. Hallelujah. But all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. How many times over and over in the Word of God does it tell us that it all goes to the Son? And yet, how is man approaching God more and more every day? They're trying to, I should say. They're trying to do it without his son. Aren't they? You can't say Jesus anymore. It grieves me to hear people say, really, in his name. I want to hear the name of Jesus. I want to hear the name of Jesus. I want my kids to pray in Jesus' name. It's a loving name. And it cuts. Man, does it cut. Look where we've come. Teachers can't have a Bible on the desk. You don't think that it's about time. Man, they're trying to get that out of everything, but you know what? They can't do it. Because it turned the world upside down. It came out of a nowhere, on the backside of a nowhere. And He's everywhere. Hallelujah. He is everywhere. And He's here tonight. Got to stay with this. I'm kind of getting off a little bit. Sorry. But this is He. Jesus is Father's delight. Let's go over to Galatians 4:4. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. I got to keep going. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. Now, you're a son of God. You have the Spirit of His Son in your heart. Not temporarily. You have that. That's you. Now reckon the old man dead, which he is. Don't drag him around. We get that. I give you that visual of, you know, you're dragging around the corpse with you all the time. Hi, my name's Jesse. And there's the dead guy that's stinking that's right on me. Get rid of him. And that's really what it is. Live the new creation. Live what you are. Live who you are. That's living by faith. That's what is going to be pleasing to God. That it is all in His Son. Those animal sacrifices that you see there in that fifth verse, they were not willed to take away the sin? No. God's will was that His Son was to eradicate sin. And it was in His Son's body that must be sacrificed. And His body was bruised for our iniquities, wasn't it? It says that His visage was marred more than any man's. I've seen some horrible things. I saw some of those things on Nagasaki and Hiroshima and all that. There were some horrid looking things. But His visage was marred more than any man. But you understand, it was far beyond the physical suffering how our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered. When He took upon Him sin. When He became sin for us. And He knew no sin. Oh man. But yet, not a bone was broken. Not a bone was broken. Yes, in that body, though we may be bent, though we may be torn, though we may be bruised for Christ's sake, He doesn't allow us to break, does He? And He doesn't quench us. It pleases Him that we're pressed and tried. And sometimes we feel like we're pressed out of measure. But He said He wouldn't allow too much to come upon us that we wouldn't be able to bear in Him. He knows. Jesus knows. Don't think He doesn't. Don't think He doesn't. But in His suffering, we have endless comfort, don't we? And He is our sustainer. So wonderful that Christ professes that God intended it to be Him. And He has no pleasure in any other sacrifice but Him. This again magnifying the Father's displeasure in anything that does not give glory to His Son. Our works are but filthy rags. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Our righteousness, don't have it, really. We talk about it. We don't have any righteousness. But if we did, it's but dung, isn't it? In His name is to glory and honor and praise. All other effort is but nothing and refuge to God. And then finally, in that seventh verse, I so appreciate the seventh verse. It says, this is our precious Lord and Savior, fully expressing His willingness to perform all of God's will. And by performing all of God's will, we already read a chapter ago, or two chapters ago, that He saves us to the uttermost. He's preparing everything for us. That's the wonderful thing about this blood, is the blood takes us all the way. The blood takes us all the way into the throne room. The judgment seat became the mercy seat. The cherubim, the bride of Christ, is looking on that blood. Do you see the blood in your life? Without it, there's no remission of sins. We know that. But that's where the grace of God lies. That's the only thing that makes us acceptable to God. And once getting into that realization, that wonderful humility that we talked about last Sunday, knowing that we're as the tents of Kedar, that we're worn, we're darkened, we're all of these different things, the blackness of our sin. Mm-hmm. But yet in Him, I am as the curtains of Solomon. What a revelation. What a revelation. But you need to see all the way there the unworthiness. This is what this is talking about. Our unworthiness, but apart from Him. And in seeing that, we get the true humility of Christ, that we are going to be like Him. Like Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. This is Ephesians 3:11. Let's go over there. I'd like to read that, not just give you that note. Ephesians 3:11. It says there that according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Talk about purpose. And it was eternal purpose. Not just everlasting, but eternal. From beginning to end. Can you imagine that? I can't. What? I am beginning. That was the eternal purpose. This book is about you. Do you see yourself in this book? Isn't it a marvel? Isn't this a marvel? Didn't realize you were that famous, did you? No, it's the love of God. But that was the eternal purpose. I mean, it hits me again as I stand here. We are the purpose. We are the purpose of everything. Of everything. He gave us free will. Look at His beautiful creation. Look at the wonders, His handiwork of His hands. The marvelous sky, the planets. I look at that Columbia or whatever, that shuttle that went out there and took those wonderful pictures. And, you know, they do all those neat things, and that's great. And then you look at the animals. I love animals, and they're just great. But we have free will. We have free will. And that was the eternal purpose. Man. If you didn't think you were something, you are the eternal purpose of God. And He, because of that joy, He entered complete subjection, didn't He? And obedience. And He bled and He died. He bled and died. He gave up, remember He said, and He gave up the ghost. That we may live and have life more abundantly. But it didn't stop there. Because as you read in that seventh verse, and I think about all of the things, and really, I have not intentionally thought out these different sermons at all. It's just how the Lord does things. But it goes to the volume of the book. And I was thinking about the other Sunday. And it means a lot to me. You know, He just reassures, doesn't He? You know, when I feel so inadequate, really, you know, I am definitely inadequate for the job. But He's my sufficiency. And, you know, I think He wants me just right there. And I just sit there and I go, Lord, this is so amazing. But I think about the volume. And the volume, sure, it says it's the pages and the chapters and the different things, but it's more than that. It's far more than just any sense of paper and words. No, this is the Word of life. It's limitless depth and height and breadth and love. It's Ephesians 3:18, and I want us to go back there and look at that. This is where we were so many weeks ago, Ephesians 3:18. Where it says that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then it doesn't stop there. And then it goes on to say, now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now, you have the power of God. Did you know that? You have that power in you. What are you plugged into, though? You plugged into flesh? Are you plugged into the Spirit? See, that's the power. And then you get into this dimension of breadth and length and height and depth. And then it hit me. I was thinking, well, gosh, I'm a good math guy. And I was thinking, wow, that's volume. And I said, wait a second. That's beyond volume. That's beyond everything. It's beyond fifth dimension. It's beyond the sixth sense, isn't it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's a total different realm. When you walk in that realm, it's peace that passes understanding. It's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It's not just life, it's abundant life. It's always more. It's always exceeding riches of His glory. And I just sit there and I marvel and I say, Lord, You didn't just make it good, right? You didn't just make acceptable, but it's perfect and it's godly perfect. And you know that by the grace of God, we can live that now? That's what He's calling us into right now. It's really truly as if I'm not even here. You know when you're really joying like that? Do you ever sense that? It's truly, seriously. I've left my body because my citizenship's in heaven. I'm seated right now together with Him in the heavens. Now we know that. That's Scripture. That's not me saying that. That's the Word of God that says that. And when we have great faith, that magnificent faith that takes us from glory to glory, that's when we can sit and really recognize and know that we're there. That You are actually there. You say, you're really nuts, huh? You're really bizarre? Uh-uh. As Brother Hill used to say, crazy like a fox. Yeah, I've lost it. I've lost it in Jesus. I'm moving into God just like that. Wonderful song says. Oh, and that's so wonderful. But see, again, that's exceeding riches of His grace and the power of Jesus Christ. I'd like to get a couple more of the verses in here tonight. We won't hurry, but I think we have a few minutes. Verse 8. Above when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. And as I read this, I was thinking about people and about religions, you know how they offer. And then they offer again, and they offer to this, and they offer to that. And if you pay them a lot of money, they'll even do a better offer than they offer. I shouldn't say that. If I'm stepping on toes, it's the Word of God. Okay? Now let's say what it is. Call it what it is. Okay? It's the Word of God. It's going to expose it, isn't it? It's going to tell you what it is. It's going to tell you what it is. It's either of God or it's of mammon. But I think about this. Everybody's trying to offer something. Everybody's trying. The offering's been made. It's done. It's completed in His wonderful Son. God, even though He divinely established the Levitical priesthood, He only had pleasure in His Son's sacrifice. Go over to Matthew 16:21. Many times, as you read the Word of God, it's as you read it the first time again and again. From the time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go. He must go. There wasn't a choice. If He wanted to fulfill the Word of God completely, He must go. Now, what do you think, Rebecca? She had a choice. But if she was going to go into that promise, I must go. I must go. There's a calling. There's a pulling at you. And it's the same pulling, truly, that Christ, it's the love of God that gets a hold of us. When we do things that hurt naturally, we leave things. We leave family. We leave loved ones. But you know what? The joy that's set before us, it so outweighs the suffering or the pain. You can't but help. Go. I must go. But look at what Jesus said. He must go into Jerusalem and must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and must be killed and must be raised again the third day. That word must, so awesome, so beyond my comprehension, that Jesus, the sinless Son of God, must die. Again, I look at all of those offerings, as I said in here, and the sacrifices. Notice that they were all, as it said, all were as unto the law. Any other offering, but His Son is of the law. And it's not going to get it done. Again, of God or mammon. the offering and the sacrifice. Let it so speak to us again that in us there's absolutely no merit or goodness. I'd like to finish with 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. And notice again, it's Lo, I come. I think this is a wonderful thing to leave with tonight. I come. I am is here. You have something bothering you tonight? I hope it just left the building. I hope it's gone. I am has come. This is alive. It's living. It's today. Behold, it's me. I am. Take notice of the importance. I come from heaven. I come from heaven, he's saying here. So tremendous, the announcement. But again, but he came as a helpless babe, didn't he? I don't even understand it. How could anybody even think that somebody wrote this? These aren't our ways. These aren't our thoughts. This is divine. The I am came as a helpless baby. Oh, man. Hallelujah. It is something. There was no fanfare in it. There was no room for his head. And why? Again, let this soul speak to us. In order to do thy will. This is important. In order to do thy will. And I believe if we asked each one of us here tonight, you would say you'd want to do the will of God. You wouldn't be here tonight if that wasn't the case. I believe there's a pulling at your life that you'd say, I want to do the will of God. I know that there's benefit in that. I know that there's profit in that. I know that there's an eternal inheritance in that. But even for Christ as us, in order to do the will of God, we must become emptied. We must become emptied, emptied out. A vessel that is empty, that He fills. And He's always given me that prayer, really, when I come before His sheep. The prize lambs, I'm sure there's many prize lambs here. He's encouraged me. That He's emptied me to fill me with what He wants for each one of us. Because I want to be one of His prize lambs too. By His grace. But in order to do thy will, it's to be emptied, completely relying at all sufficiency is from above. Do you realize that Christ was empowered through the subjection and by the Holy Spirit when He was here? Do you know that? He taught us. He taught us. That's where He got His power. And by His grace, may it be our banner as well to do God's will. As it says here, finally, the first ordinances are gone. Their ceremony, it's been nailed to the cross. Hebrews 8:13, it's done, it's over. They're old, they're rotting away. And now we'll end with Romans 6:14. It says, For sin shall not have dominion over you. So you may think tonight that sin has dominion over you. It doesn't. It doesn't. Do you believe that? You say, well, you don't realize how wretched I am. What I'm caught into, what I think about. It don't have dominion over you. Reckon it dead. Reckon that old man dead. Live the new creation, which you are. Live unto that. It shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. And you know what? I want to see things as Jesus Christ sees them. How does He see His child? How does God, let's go there. How does God see one that believes in His Son? Justified. Just as if He'd never sinned. That's how God sees you. That's how God sees you. Now live victory. Do you see how easy that is? I'm really, really serious. I know that the Lord is working on me, but I believe that there's, you know, someone or some few here tonight, or many of us tonight, that are caught into that guilt. You're guiltless. You're free. You're under grace. The atonement's been made. I've been reconciled to God. How many times over and over and over? Now live the freedom that's yours. Live the freedom. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, again for this time. We again thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the provision that you've made for us, Lord, that you died to set us free. And that was just the beginning. But again, I just thank you for, again, what we see. And Lord, let it just be so real to us. Help us to see more all the time. And that more is of you. And it's in your word. And Lord, let it work effectually in us. And we just thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.